So I want to give a brief explanation of the Dorje Kadro or Vajradhaka fire puja. When we set it up, we make just a very simple altar. It doesn't need to be a complicated altar, but it should have, we have a picture of Dorje Kadro that we place at the center, and we can put the three symbols, body, speech, and mind, of the Buddha. And then the row of offerings, like you have here, Argam, Padyam, Pupe, like that, the eight offerings, because we're going to offer those. And then in the fire, first you put down, we have a picture of a double Vajra, which represents stability, and we put that down, and then make, build the fire around that, and light the fire. And well, sometimes you light it at the beginning, sometimes you light it after you do refuge and bodhicitta. It kind of depends. And then sometimes you use butter or oil, to pour onto it. Don't use gasoline. but butter is like a very pure substance. It's one of the three whites, and so it's considered very nice to offer that, and the fire really likes it. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so we'll all stand around there, and we'll do refuge and bodhicitta like we usually do, to set our motivation, and then the special bodhicitta, which is the second one that starts for especially the sake of all mother sentient beings. That's the special bodhicitta, because we're saying, in this very life, quickly and more quickly. There's two different explanations of quickly and more quickly. One way, it's the first quickly is by sutra, and the second quickly is by tantra. Another explanation is the first quickly is by the three lower tantras, and the fourth and the last quickly is by the highest class yoga tantra. So, but anyway, it's a special bodhicitta because you're saying, I'm not sleeping. I want to. This is important stuff to do. Okay, and then the refuge visualization dissolves into you. That's kind of usual as in sadhanas. Okay, then we dispel hindrances by saying Om Vajra Amrita Kundali Hana Hana Hung Pei, and so we imagine many wrathful deities coming out of our heart and chasing away any kind of hindrances that there might be, and then the deities absorb back into us. And then we meditate on emptiness, and this is the best way to get rid of hindrances, they say, is meditating on emptiness. And so there's the mantra, Om Sabo Ashita Sava Dhamma Sabo Ashita Ham, which means, like, kind of translated as all phenomena are by nature pure, and I am also pure. And pure here means pure from true existence. Yeah? And so in our own case, being pure of true existence, that is our natural Buddha nature. Yeah, and what allows us to become a Buddha. So we're contemplating that, and we're also contemplating, that the fire and and the wood and everything, the offerings, everything is also empty. So we're not grasping onto it as a truly existent or as it appears in its ordinary form. Okay, so both those things were dissolving. Okay, so it says the fire becomes empty. That is, the incorrect ordinary view of the fire as being truly existent disappears. So the fire should be burning by this time, and then we just meditate that the fire, there's nothing inherently existent about a fire. Fire depends on causes. Yeah? It has different aspects, different qualities to it. It, is fire just, it exists as fire because we've labeled and conceived it as such. Yeah, so just remember that the whole thing takes place within the sphere of emptiness. Okay, then, knowing that everything is empty, then so that's the ultimate truth. Then we start creating a different conventional truth. Our usual conventional truth is pover to me, So, but we've dissolved pover to me into emptiness, You know, so poverty to me is like gone, you know, gone, never existed, yeah. But we, you know, we generate our wisdom in the form of this wisdom fire in Dorji Kajo, okay? So within this emptiness of true existence, so you're looking at the place where the fire is, a blazing wisdom fire appears. So, you know, Manjushri's sword has fire at the tip, and a lot of the deities have fire, and it's the fire that burns away the afflictions, and especially the grasping at true existence. Okay, so the fire, I mean, fire burns, doesn't it? Yeah, and there's nothing left when the fire comes through, so... It's, you know, burning all the wrong conceptions and also all the negative karma, because we're doing the puja as a way of cleansing any kind of mistakes we may have made in doing the sadhana during the retreat, or any kind of karma we may have created, you know, during the retreat, and of course any of, you know, negative karma in general. And when you purify, you know, you don't think, oh, I'm just purifying a teeny bit of negative karma. You really think big, you know. It's like all of it purifying, you know. All of it plus one. Yeah, so don't be small in your purification. Okay, so you have this blazing wisdom fire appears. Okay, at the center is the letter Hung. So you can visualize this either in the Tibetanized Sanskrit or in Sanskrit or H-U-M in Roman letters. And the Hung is standing upright. Okay, and it's dark blue. And this Hung then becomes a vajra that's marked by Hum. So the Hum, you know, and this is where all of the, you know, the cartoons and the TV watching we did as kids comes in really helpful, because there's a Hum and then it just transforms into a vajra, you know, no problem. Yeah? Yeah, so it transforms into a vajra. The vajra is also standing upright, and at the hub of the vajra, the center part, it's marked by Hum. So there's a blue letter Hum there. So you have this upright vajra in the middle of the fire. Okay? And then the vajra transforms into the fierce deity Dorji Kajo. Okay? So why is Dorji Kajo fierce? Because he's not monkeying around. It's like, you know, these afflictions and this karma need to go. So, you know, yeah. And I think that this whole thing of wrathful deities, you know, it's an avenue for us to put our anger energy into, you know. I mean, we all have anger energy, don't we? So you just put it into this incredibly wrathful, vicious deity. But what's the deity wrathful and vicious towards? You know, not towards us, not towards any other sentient being, but towards the afflictions and the karma. Okay? So it's a skillful way, you know, take that anger energy and turn it against all the afflictions. Yeah, instead of turning it against yourself in low self-esteem or against others in blaming. Okay? So there's Dorji Kajo. And we'll put out the picture today so you can kind of look what he looks like. So he's deep blue in color. His body's made of light. Yeah? So it's deep blue of color, one face, two hands. So he's holding a dorji in his right hand, and then a bell in his left hand. Okay? And he shows the mudra of divine wisdom, which is called the Hungze mantra, which I believe is like this. We'll check the picture, but it's the wrathful mantra, and then hooked like that. Okay? Wearing a crown of five skulls. Yeah? So why a crown of five skulls? Because it represents the five Buddha families, and each of the five Buddha families represent the subduing of a particular affliction. You know, so here you're talking about five principal afflictions: ignorance, anger, attachment, pride or miserliness, they're lumped together, and jealousy. Yeah, and so them being dried up, desiccated, turned into skeletons are the five skulls. And he snarls into space. You know, so all this anger that you've been seeing, you know, in your meditation, is there's Dorji Kajo. Okay, really going into it. Bearing four great fangs, you know, so he's not smiling sweetly. It's like, you know, these huge four fangs, which could symbolize, you know, the Four Noble Truths, or they could symbolize the Four Foundations of Mindfulness. Okay. But snarling into these fangs, yeah. And he's adorned by a necklace of 50 bleeding heads. You know, I mean, this is pretty graphic. So, you know, you're not in Iraq and, you know, horrified seeing decapitated people, but you're taking, you know, that horror and transforming it. Okay? I mean, because people have been decapitated in Iraq. So, you know, you're taking the horror of that, which we usually just go, you know, get me away from, and transforming it. And it represents the various afflicted mental factors, this garland, this necklace of 50 bleeding heads that he's wearing, okay? So it's a way of taking things that normally we would like go, ugh, you know, I mean, somebody with four fangs snarling, I mean, we'd go bye-bye, you know, and run the other direction as fast as we can. And, you know, and then 50 bleeding heads, it's like, who's this guy, you know? I don't want to be here. And we're taking and transforming all of our usual reaction by transforming that appearance so that the appearance isn't how we ordinarily think of it, but it's all, you know, symbolic of the conquering of the afflictions and the karma. Okay? So he has his 50 bleeding heads. Yeah, and he wears a scant tiger skin loincloth. Yeah, he's seated with his legs forming a circle. So his legs, you know, he's seated, but then his legs are, you know, out with the, you know, if you sit with your 2 feet together, you know, the soles of your 2 feet together, so your legs form a circle. Okay, so he's seated like that, and his aspect is that of a powerful, magnificent destroyer of all negativities and obscurations. Yeah, so there's no doubt about who he is. Yeah, at his crown there's a white om. So at the crown chakra there's a white om that's made of white light that symbolizes the Buddha's body. At his throat there's a red letter ah, symbolizing the Buddha's speech, and at his heart there's a blue letter hung, symbolizing the Buddha's mind. So these three syllables are all inside of his body. There's a central channel that runs, you know, from the top of your crown down. So it's kind of inside there in those three places, representing the body, speech, and mind. And then from the hung at Dorje Kadro's heart, light rays radiate out. So they just go all the different directions, very bright. And they invite the wisdom beings and the empowering deities from their natural abodes. So the natural abodes usually means the sphere of emptiness. It can also refer to the pure lands. So we have two different groups of guests here. Actually, they're all one nature, but they're appearing differently. Yeah. But the first group of guests are the wisdom beings. So these are beings who look like Dorje Kadro. Okay, they're all the Dorje Kadros from all of the pure land and appearing out of emptiness, and you just have all these gazillion of Dorje Kadros coming. Okay, you did this in the Vajrasattva too. Okay, and then you're also invoking all the empowering deities, which are the five Dhyani Buddhas. Okay, so they're all coming in the space in front. So the first group that you're going to be working with is the wisdom beings, all these Dorje Kadros. Yeah. So it's similar to how you did in the Vajrasattva. You do Za Hung Bam Ho, you know, they merge into one and they come and they merge into you and they become stable. Except here they're merging into the Dorje Kadro in the fire. Okay, so they come together and they're one big Dorje Kadro, dissolve into the fire, emerge, and then become completely stable. And then after that, you have the five Dhyani Buddhas, and they're all carrying vases with nectar, and then they come and pour the nectar, you know, on top of Dorje Kadro, and the nectar fills him from the bottom coming up, yeah, and it comes, a little bit comes out the top of his head, and forms a, you know, a swirl, and it becomes Akshobhya Buddha. because he's in the family of Akshobhya Buddha. So he's crowned, he has a small Akshobhya Buddha on the crown of his head. Okay, so, and the reason that we do this is because often when we visualize a deity, we think, oh, it's just my visualization. You know, there's not really Dorje Kadra there. There's not really a Buddha there. So that's why we invoke all the wisdom beings from the Pure Lands and dissolve them in and, you know, then do the initiation process, because that way we know that, you know, the Buddha's really here. Dorje Kadra's really here. Okay. Then we make offerings. So the offerings are similar to, you know, unusual practice. Om Vajradhaka Sapariwari means, you know, Om Vajradhaka and everybody with you, you know, all your friends. Please enjoy. Argam is water. Here it has padyam. Usually with wrathful deities, you don't offer water to wash their feet. So I wonder why padyam's in here. Because usually they say, you know, they're so busy trampling that, you know, trampling that their feet are just covered with blood anyway. So, you know. But anyway, it's in here, so we'll offer it. So padyam is water to wash the feet. Pope is flowers, okay, representing impermanence. Dupe is incense. Aloke is light. Gende is perfume, Nude is food, and Shapta is music. Okay? So we offer those, and then imagine that Dorje Kadra experiences infinite bliss, you know, upon receiving the offerings. And then we offer praise, you know, Akshobhya Vajra. We address him in that way because he's in the family of Akshobhya. Okay, so great wisdom. The Vajra sphere of your mind is extremely wise. Your supreme three vajras of body, speech, and mind are the three mandalas. So in Kriya Tantra, they often talk of three mandalas. I bow to you, melody of secrets. So that's offering praise. And one nice thing that you know, they always recommend whenever you're doing a practice like this is to see your spiritual mentors and the deity as one nature. Yeah, so that they're inseparable. So you're invoking your spiritual mentors in the form of this deity. And then that also makes you feel quite close to the deity. Okay, so that you would do like just even at the beginning when you're doing the visualization. So now we have the visualization of the actual purification. So here we're in ordinary form. We're not in the form of a deity. So now it's over to me, okay? You can move over to me. Okay, you're an ordinary form. At your heart, there's a black letter palm, okay? So whatever script you want to imagine it in, there's your black palm, you know, just this nasty, nasty. When Nance was talking about, he's talking crusty and rotten and, you know, smelly and stinky and, you know... Okay, because this is all your negative karma. So there it is, there. Yeah, all my negativities appears at my heart. So, you know, all your self-pity, all your guilt, all your self-hatred, all the actions you've done motivated by that, all the fear and the anxiety and the anger and the stupidity and the laziness and the attachment and the greed and the jealousy and the resentment and the grudges and all this stuff, ugh, you know, it's just there. You don't leave it out. It's not 84,000 minus one. It's all of it, okay? All of your 84,000 afflictions, all of the karma created by them. Yeah, at your navel, and the palm is upright, and it's also in your heart chakra inside your body. So all these letters, they're not pasted on the outside of your skin. They're inside, okay? So then at your navel, yeah, then there's the red letter Ram, which becomes a fire mandala. So fire mandalas are triangular, and the point is pointing out. So it's a flat triangle, yeah? And then beneath your feet, there's a blue yam, which transforms into a blue wind mandala. A wind mandala is a semicircle. and it has the straight side facing out. So the blue wind mandala is under your feet, and the red triangular fire mandala at your heart, and the black at your navel, and then the black palm, you know, the negativities at your heart. Okay? Then, light rays radiate from the palm. So light rays are going to go out throughout the whole universe and beyond that, okay, into infinite space, and draw forth all the negativities and obscurations of my three doors, of my body, speech, and mind, in the form of black rays. And these absorb into the palm. Okay? So all your negative karma that you might have left in some other universe somewhere, you know, thinking, you know, like, you know, unconscious here and locked closet of my mind over there. All the negative karma throughout all, you know, past, present, and future, you're just calling it all. These black rays go out and then these black rays come in, you know, like magnified and just, I mean, and it all absorbs there, you know, into the palm in your heart. And if you're really brave, you invoke everybody else's afflictions and all their negative karma too. Okay? You really do it for other sentient beings. You take it all on for everybody. Okay? And it absorbs into the palm. Okay? It also absorbs, well, we're getting there. Okay, beneath my feet, so now you're going back to the blue wind mandala. The wind mandala starts to blow because the fire is blowing, so it starts to move. So it acts as a fan, and the wind comes up, you imagine it coming up your legs, and it fans the fire that's at your navel because you have this fire, triangular fire mandala, that's blazing at your navel, so it makes the fire even hotter. And then from that triangular fire mandala, you have all the flaming rays coming up, and so they're like going up your central channel and towards your heart. And the palm, you know, it's like whenever you're doing something virtuous, ego gets scared. So palm, all the afflictions, all your negativities, the fire's coming, palm wants out of there. Okay, so palm goes palm and comes out through your nose. Okay, so the palm comes from your heart and it goes up and then, you know, out your nose. So those of us who have big noses, this is the time. Okay. So the palm, you know, all this negativity that's sitting there, you know, and that's in the palm, it just all comes out, the whole palm comes out, and what does it do? It absorbs, boing, into the scorpion that's made of the sesame seeds. Okay? So it comes out, it becomes a scorpion, and then it absorbs into all the scorpions that you've made out of the sesame seeds. Because scorpions are critters that we usually think scorpions are pretty disgusting and we're afraid of them and, you know, they can kill you. And so again, here's a whole image of using something that we would normally run away from. Okay? So, you know, palm comes out, becomes a scorpion, and absorbs into the scorpion. So now, you know, your negativities are put outside of you into this scorpion. Now, Vajradhaka is a Buddha. And remember the other day we were talking about the taste test? You know, that if you're enlightened, eating disgusting things and eating, you know, blissful wisdom nectar are all the same to you? Is this all blissful wisdom nectar? Well, similarly for Dorji Kadro, you know, taking on afflictions and karma, this is like, you know, yum, this is great. You know, we go, afflictions and karma, get me out of here. But, you know, Dorji Kadro goes, ah, you know, it's like right before Flora and Gabby's lunch, we're all going, ah. So Dorji Kadro is like just waiting, you know. So we're offering to all, you know, all these negativities in the form of those sesame seeds, which we can all imagine each sesame seed is a scorpion too, and each sesame seed is all of the negativities, all the afflictions of ourselves and others. And so then we offer these to Dorji Kadro. And Dorji Kadro is just going, ah. Oh, this is blissful, more, you know. I mean, just completely loving it. Yeah. So when we'll all at that time, you know, we'll pass out, everybody will get a bowl of sesame seeds. And then you take a little bit in your hand and you offer. And when you offer, you always offer with your hand up like this. It's a polite way. You don't go, you know. I mean, if you were offering something to the Buddha, you wouldn't go, would you? You would always offer like this, you know, your hand up and toss it in like this. Okay? If you're using a Dorjean bell, you usually tie your Dorje onto your finger so you don't accidentally throw your finger. I've thrown the Dorje in with the sesame seeds when you're doing it. Okay? So you take a little bit and you offer. And each time you offer, you say the mantra. Okay? So the mantra is Om Vajradhaka. I'm sorry. Om Vajradhaka Kaka Kai Kai Sarva Papam Dahana Bhakmi Kuru Soha. Okay? Yeah, Om Vajradhaka Kaka Kai Kai Sarva Papam Dahana Bhakmi Kuru Soha. Yeah, so Om Vajradhaka is calling to Vajradhaka. Okay, that's his name. Kaka Kai Kai, kind of, I'm offering you, please enjoy. Sarva Papam means all the negativities. Okay, Dahana Bhakmi, I don't know what that means. Do you know, Andy? And Kuru comes a lot. I forget what that means. And so,
to do? Some form of to do.
To do. Okay. And then soha is, you know, may this come about. So we offer that, and then every so often, whenever you feel like it, you can do the English verse. All the negativities and obscurations I have created, and all commitments I have broken from beginningless time are completely purified. Okay? Maybe that's what Dahana Bhakmi means. It's like completely pure. Might have something to do like that. Okay, so all the negativities, negative karma, the obscurations, so your afflictive obscurations, the cognitive obscurations, so all of this, all the commitments, so all of our broken vows, you know, the negative karma from breaking either our pratimoksha vows, bodhisattva vows, or tantric vows, okay, and any kind of domsig, any kind of other commitments or samaya that we have with our teachers, you know, that we've broken from beginningless time. So again, we're not messing around here. It's, you know, from beginningless time, and all of this are completely purified. And just as in when you did the Vajrasattva, you know how important it was to feel, yes, it's purified, then similarly here, you really feel, yes, it's purified. So everybody will kind of go at their own speed, and, you know, and we don't need to all say the mantra at the same time, yeah, but every time you offer some sesame seeds, you say the mantra, and try and get all the sesame seeds into the fire, okay? We don't want any kind of dribbling around, lying around, you know. When your bowl is empty, go back and get some more. You know, since there's limited amount, don't take one big handful and do one offering, because, yeah, but space it out. So that, but you can always, with each handful, you imagine that you're giving, you know, huge amounts to Vajradhaka. Okay, and then you can fill up your bowl, and then, you know, we go back and keep offering, and everybody's at their own speed. Like I said, you do the mantra a few times and then do the praise, you know, the other verse when you want to, then go back and do the mantra some more, and then do the verse, and then, you know, back and forth like this until everything is completely used up. And we don't speak during this whole time, you know. So every last sesame seeds, if any, are on the altar. You know, we'll have paper towels, we'll scrape our bowls, we'll scrape our hands, as much as we can get every sesame seed into that fire, we do that, okay? And imagine that Vajradhaka is just totally blissed out by the whole thing. Then after we've offered everything, then again we make the eight offerings to Vajradhaka. Again we offer praise. Okay, so in the center of the blazing wisdom fire, yeah, stands the fierce dark blue cannibal Dorje Khadro. Just by remembering you, all disturbing attitudes, all afflictions, and evil forces are completely destroyed. Okay, so all of our afflictions, all the negative karma, if you ever feel like you're having interferences from spirits or any kind of negative energy or something, all that's destroyed too. It's all just totally burned up. And so you're bowing to Dorje Kadro, who does that. Then we have all the errors I have made through not finding. Here, this part is we're confessing any mistakes we have made in doing the ritual. Okay, so maybe we haven't found the exact substances so well, so mistakes that we've made through not finding or not knowing. Maybe we've done the ritual, we, you know, slurred the mantra or did something that, you know, because we didn't know, or no capability, you know, because yeah. So Dorje Kadro is very tolerant, but we request please be patient with all of these. Okay. Then remember all the wisdom beings had absorbed into Dorje Kadro in the fire at the beginning. So now we send them home. So the wisdom beings return to the ultimate nature from where they came. So they leave the Dorje Kadro that's in the fire and they dissolve back into emptiness or go back to the pure lands. And the symbolic being, that's the Dorje Kadro that we visualize that's in the fire, transforms into the fire. Yeah, so then all we have is the fire at the end. Yeah, and we don't throw, we let the fire just burn until it's completely extinguished. We don't put any more wood on it or anything. Hopefully what we have is enough to burn the sesame seeds. So we don't, you know, burn our garbage in it afterwards or anything like that, because, you know, it's a wisdom fire. We just let it completely burn until it's out. So we, you know, we make it in an area where there's nothing that it can catch fire on, and we keep an eye on it. And then after it goes out, you know, because it's offerings that we put there, we take the embers, you know, when they're cool, and anything that's left, we remove it from there and move it someplace else, because that's an area where we walk, and we don't want to step over the offerings that we made. Yeah, it's not considered polite to step over, you know, offerings. Okay, and then we dedicate. Yeah? So, any questions? And if we start to do it, and it starts to rain or snow, we just, once we've started, we just keep going. Okay? So maybe we need extra oil or butter or something to keep the fire going. But also it's considered quite auspicious in these things if you have a cleansing rain. So.
Well, I remember last year it started, just before it got going, the wind picked up. So it kept fanning the fire through the whole ritual. And there were some pretty good gusts, so the thing was like... And then it died down after we finished the ritual. It was very interesting.
Yeah. And I think it rained afterwards, didn't it?
It was one of the days like today.
Yeah. Any other questions? Huh? So it's a really nice way to kind of finish the retreat. Mm-hmm. You just burn up everything. Mm-hmm. all the negativities anyway. Mm-hmm. Not the virtue. Yeah.
I was wondering if I can if I can transcribe the Lama Chopa Buddha that we read yesterday.
Oh.
Because it's so beautiful, the request and everything, and we don't have it.
Yeah. I already have it on the computer.
And you have
it? Yeah, yeah. I have it. I redid the English a little bit, so it's a little bit. You know, but it's basically the same thing, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can send us
email? Yeah. Yeah. Unless people have had the highest class Tantra initiation, unless there's at least one person there who's had that, then don't do the soak offering. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the puja, well, usually people, you need initiation, but I think it's okay if you do it without.
Because someday I was doing the Vajrasattva, it was open, because we were chanting.
Mm-hmm.
But the request and many things is like a meditation.
Yeah, oh, exactly.
So maintaining that.
Exactly, yeah.
But we don't do that, but to have it, to read it, to think about it is good.
Oh, yeah, it's very good. Yeah, the request, the whole thing, so it's just the soap, that special offering that we did in Tibetan. But you've had Kala Chakra, I'm just remembering, haven't you? No?
No?
No? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I got confused then. Then the other things you can the request verses and the offerings and the, you know, the Lam Rim prayer and everything. Yeah, I mean, it's very good to do that and very inspiring.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if I could you just done after a Vajrasattva retreat or with
Usually when you finish a retreat, you do a fire puja of some sort. This is especially for Kriya Tantra, the lowest class tantra that we're doing for more simpler retreats.